Thank you very much. Well, as we all realize, none of us are getting any younger. So I'm just going to take a little reflection on the fruit of old age. I guess I qualify to be one of the elderly now. Let us look at Psalm 92. Psalm 92. I'm just going to read through this very quickly and then just concentrate on one verse and make a few comments. It's a song for the Sabbath, Psalm 92, and it starts off by saying that God is pleased when people cease from work to worship Him. It's good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, and the melody of the lyre or the guitar or the organ or the piano, trumpet, whatever musical instrument you happen to have. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. So there's something great about stopping work for a while simply to come and worship and praise God. And then as these people meditate, they start to see things from God's point of view. One of the things that helps you when you look from God's point of view is that you don't get too uptight over the prosperity of the wicked. You realize that they can't take it with them, it's not going to last forever, and it's much better to put your investment into something permanent. How great are your works, O Lord, in verse 5. Your thoughts are very deep. The dull man can't know them. The stupid can't understand them. This is what they can't understand, that though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, in the end they're doomed to destruction forever. So their apparent prosperity is short-lived. So don't envy them. You, O Lord, verse 8, you're on high forever, but the enemies of the Lord, all your enemies, they shall perish, and all evildoers shall be scattered. Now, in contrast to this, we have those who trust in God, and that really is what I'm going to be concerned with. The good parts, so to speak, we've looked at the people who trust in themselves and they come to grief. Those who trust in God, verse 10 to the end, you, O Lord, have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. Here's a picture of strength and victory. There are three pictures here that are mentioned. This is the first one, the wild ox with its horns. That was a symbol of strength and victory and power. And so we can be confident of God's power with us. You poured over me fresh oil. There's some refreshment there too. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my assailants. And so the horn of the wild ox, so to speak, is being exalted because the enemies are being defeated. That's the first picture. The second picture is in verse 12. The righteous flourish like the palm tree. Like magnificent trees, the righteous flourish. And so they can be expected to be strong and fruitful, grow like a cedar in Lebanon, verse 13, planted in the house of the Lord, flourish in the courts of our God. And they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They are forever full of sap and green. This is speaking of trees, not you and me. But the illustration is there. This is a picture that is given that we can pass on to ourselves. Flourishing like this growing tree that is strong and big and magnificent and fruitful, and it lasts into old age and is still bringing forth fruit. It's evergreen, so to speak. In the final verse, it shows that the Lord is upright. And then my third picture, He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. That's the third picture that the writer gives, like a house on a rocky hill. It is safe. And so the righteous are secure. So powerful and victorious, like the ox with its horns, flourishing and fruitful, like the tree, and secure, like the house on a rock. But it was those three or four words in verse 14 that caught my attention that I thought I'll just pass on for this devotional this morning. They still bring forth fruit in old age. And as I thought about this, I was thinking, yeah, what are some of the fruits of old age? Well, I just got them down to four small points that I'll pass on. The first thing is you get a better sense of proportion. You get the big picture, so to speak. It's amazing, when you're younger, old age, it looks as if it's a long way off and it's going to not be very pleasant. And people who are old, they sound old. I can remember when we went to Thailand, I was 26, probably 28, when we got news that my father had died. very suddenly and unexpectedly, and he was only 58. And everybody was saying how terrible this was, what a tragic, a man in the peak of life, fit and healthy, and at the age of 58, he's taken from us. And here's me at the age of 28, and I'm thinking, well, it's not too bad, 58, I mean, after all, it's pretty old. But then, of course, later on, I got a bit older, and I saw things a bit differently. I remember, probably 10 years later, I was back in Australia, I'm now about 37 or 38, and I was asked to take the funeral for some fellow who had died unexpectedly, and he was only 49. And everybody was saying again how tragic it was. But even from the age of 37 or 38, 49 still looked a fair way off. And I thought, well, it's not too bad. He's got halfway to the century, just about. And of course, when I got to 49, I realized, goodness me, I'm still only young. And then I got to 58, and I'm thinking to myself, well, no wonder they were saying that about my father being taken so unexpectedly in the peak of life, because I was feeling as if I was only halfway through life, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? You move on and you get a different perspective on things. You see a big picture. And you don't see life as being, well, whatever way we saw it when we were younger. There are many ways in which the years of experience can be a help in shortening things. Now, I know that when we get older, some things take a bit longer. I find that physically, I work in the garden all day Saturday, and I'm not quite as fresh at the end of the day as I might have been 20 years ago. But I still manage to get there. Yeah, physical things tend to take their toll, but when it comes to preparing ministry or talks or studies, I find that I can do things much quicker now than I could 20 or 30 years ago, because I have so much more material to draw from. I've got so much more experience. And so there are many ways in which there are blessings. You've got a much better sense of proportion, bigger picture of things. Second point, greater tolerance. I hope, anyway, that I'm more tolerant now than I used to be. I think most of us do get a bit more tolerant. Sometimes we get cranky, but by and large, we've mellowed with age. We all know the complaint that our children make. They see us being soft on our grandchildren, and they say, goodness me, if we had only done half that, if we had been misbehaving only half as badly when we were that age, we would have got you know what. But our grandchildren may get away with murder just about. Well, I suppose there is the issue there that when you don't have responsibility, you tend to get a bit soft on things. But I do think that there is a point to be made, that I hope we have learned something about forgiveness, for example. Remember when I was probably in my 40s, there was a man who was well in his 60s, and we were talking about something, and he had had a bit of a disagreement with some person, and he said, look, I'm not going to bother about it. He said, life's too short for that. And I thought, well, he's a lot older than I am, but he's saying life's too short for that. And I've come to the same view. I hope I practice it as much as I'm trying to make out here. Life is too short to harbour grudges. And you're going to get to the stage where you pass on. Already, as in my case, you've seen other people pass on that you had some tiff with some time ago, and you think, what a petty, piffling thing it was, and now he's gone. And what was the point of all of that? You see, little things, you get them into perspective better, and you realise life is too short to go harbouring grudges and to being unforgiving and being grumpy and so on. So develop a greater tolerance. The third point I've got here is more serenity. I suppose that is connected with it. Less haste. Well, I'm being a bit of a hypocrite here, because quite honestly, I think I move with just as much haste at the age of 63 as I did at the age of 33. I still seem to cram a lot in, and I do rush around a bit. But one thing I have learned is not to be anxious about all of this. I guess there's a metabolism in the body that, or there's a clockwork or something that makes you run. Some of us are built like racing cars, and we function better at high speed. Other people are built differently. But the anxiety and the tension and the pressure that goes with it, that's the thing that I, praise God, I can see a difference in. That with age, there comes this realization. Don't get yourself uptight. There's no need to have a heart attack over this. Then you can still work hard and then switch off, go to bed and forget about it. Instead of letting work dominate us, we dominate it. And it is our servant instead of us being its servant. And with it goes a dissipation of anxiety. And we start to realize some of the things that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Don't be anxious over this. Don't be anxious over that. Look at the birds. Look at the animals. Look at the flowers in the field. Well, we're not exactly birds or animals of that nature or flowers in the field either. But the point is made. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Wait until tomorrow and face it when it gets here. And that serenity, that lack of anxiety, helps us to realize that it's not going to do us any good by getting ourselves uptight. And so often, a week, a month, a year later on, we look back and we think to ourselves, why on earth did I get myself so strung up over such an issue? The fruit of old age, the sense of proportion, the greater tolerance, the greater serenity and peace, and finally, the fourth one, a greater appreciation of the grace of God. God has been so gracious. When I think of things I've said and done and things that I'm not very proud of, not happy about in my past, I'm just so amazed at the grace of God that He's still using me in some way. That He hasn't thrown me out, He hasn't written me off. I just never cease to be amazed at the love and the patience, the grace and the tolerance of our God. Now, if I have received God's grace like that, surely I ought to be able to exercise it to others. And that is another fruit of old age. To pass on to others something of the blessing of God that He has given us. Not in the sense of lecturing them. Maybe we have to lecture them sometimes. Maybe we have to be public teachers. I'm doing a bit of teaching here, standing up and saying these things. Okay. But that's not really what I'm thinking of when I'm saying passing it on. I'm not saying passing it on so much in the form of propositions that we're giving people, but passing it on in attitude. That attitude of grace and love that God has shown to us, we pass it on. And then it may be that we can bring refreshment to other people. The righteous flourish like the palm tree, that we can grow like the cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of our God, flourishing in the courts of the Lord, and still bringing forth fruit in old age to the glory of Him. Amen.